us in our reading there in our candlelight service, and I appreciate him stepping up for that. That's a difficult role as well, and it's appreciated so much. I want to direct your attention to Hebrews chapter 6 this morning. We're talking about winning the war. Winning the war. You may wonder where that kind of a title is born from. Well, it is because we are at the end of a year, and as we come to the end of the year, some of you may feel like you're defeated. And I want you to know that biblically, you may be down, but if you're God's child, you're never out. That the war will be won. And I think in eternity, it will always be said with a quick addendum, it was won in spite of us, not because of us. Because God is in control. He is a sovereign God. Now the problem, though, is that because we are so prone to defeat, we tend to get defeated as a disposition. If you know what I mean by a disposition, I mean, it's just like you live in that neighborhood. You think, well, I'm defeated. I'll never be any better. I'll never get it down. I'll never grow. I'll never thrive. And that is a lie from the devil. The Bible tells us that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Aren't you glad? He lays upon himself the burden of your success. And that is why he gives us his word, because when we come to his word time and time again, we find grist for the mill of our faith. We find purchase for our hope. We find the ability from his word to believe things could be different. You may go weeks or months and think you're out, and then one day you wake up and there's a song in your heart and you wonder where that came from. Or there's a word on the radio, or there's a word in a reading of some sort. You might even be walking out of the light, and yet God makes sure that the truth makes it through, and your heart is pierced with an, oh, he still loves me. Because God is in control. And so I talked to you this morning about winning the war, because I believe many believers are living in defeat. And there are enough passages in the Scripture by design to keep us off balance and make us feel like we're unworthy, that we have to constantly reevaluate our faith, and it is good to reevaluate your faith. God by design puts in some divine tension in the Scriptures so that you might revisit the issue of your salvation over and over again, because he wants you to get to the place where those passages don't bother you anymore. And they should bother you. Passages about examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Passages like in the books of the Gospels where he says one guy comes in and he's got no wedding garment in, though he's in the wedding feast. He's got no wedding garment on. God says, cast him out. How'd you get in here without a wedding garment? And there are the 10 virgins. 5 foolish virgins, 5 wise virgins, and they have oil. The wise ones do, but the other ones don't, and they don't keep their lamps full of oil. They don't have any oil in their lamps. What I'm saying is this. You and I are coming to the end of a year. And God forbid that we enter into the new year without having come to grips with the fact that though you may have had some defeats last year, there are also some victories and some blessings. And it was nice that we were able to start this morning giving praise to God for some victories. God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, when we come to the passage this morning, I want to talk to you about 3 things that we have going for us out of chapter 6 of Hebrews. First of all, we have immutable truth. And secondly, we have an impossible truth. You'll see what that means in a minute. And then thirdly, we have an inherited truth. And these are really cool things. So if you're prone to take notes, I want you to strap on your bib, because we're going to throw the meat today. All right? So put your thinking caps on. We're not here to just kind of go over the surface. We're not going for the top. We're going down deep, and we're going to get some stuff for our hearts. With that said, I'd like for you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word. The Bible says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrections of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh off to punish, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Let's pray for the message this morning. Father, thank you this morning for your word. And Father, as we wade into a passage of Scripture that we all need to be very familiar with and comfortable with, Lord, I ask you to give us wisdom and understanding. We are not sufficient for the things that you've done for us, Lord. It's hard for us, even those of us who know you intimately and deliberately and see so clearly what you've done in framing salvation, it's hard for us to get our minds around the fact that, Father, this is a forever salvation. Father, we need you today. We need you to help us get back up on our feet. We need you to help us rekindle a flame in our hearts. We need you, Father, to help us to realize that when we are down, we are not out. But it is at those times we need to draw down on the grace of God, which is manifestly made available to us. Help us this morning to get from your word what we need. And help us, Father, to equip ourselves to better serve you in the year that is before us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is a difficult passage for many. If you read it over and over again, you may find yourself struggling because it talks about people who crucify themselves, the Lord afresh, and putting him into an open shame, and there not being any repentance available for those people. And I want you to see, as we go through this passage, that we are talking this morning about winning the war, and that when you get defeated, if you read passages like this, you may find that you feel like, well, maybe I'm not even saved. Now, my concern is not to make you think you're saved, because that's not my job. My job is not to make you think you're saved. My job is to help those of you who are saved understand better your salvation, so that you will not be talked out of your security. The devil would do everything in his power to talk you out of your security. Because if you wonder about your security in Christ, you will never do exploits for God. If you thought you were going to go in a valley and fight a Goliath like David did, and you didn't think God was going with you, you wouldn't go. It is because we know that God is with us, God is for us, that we do things that are pretty incredible. You take what Becky's doing with the pregnancy service. 10 years ago, she had never thought anything like this would have been in her life. But because of some things that she's been taught through the Word of God through the years and been exposed to, and doors that have opened here and there, and little increments, God would put her in over her head, little increments at a time, and eventually it blossomed into something that she's like, probably looks at sometimes and like, I can't believe I'm doing this. She's going into the Ohio State campus and telling them about pro-life issues and talking about issues so delicate as sex, and that's not an easy issue for a man to speak about, much less for a lady. And yet this is the day we live, and God has blessed her, and he has prospered her and given her more open doors than she would have thought would have been possible. What I'm saying is this: God wants you to go from victory to victory. He doesn't want you to lay down. He doesn't want you to give up. He doesn't want you to be satisfied. You and I are never to be content with where we are spiritually. We're supposed to be always digging in. Now, the passage I have before you this morning in verses 1 to 3, I want to show you some things that are... I want you to see the importance of immutable truth. Just before he gets to this place, he tells the Hebrew people who he's writing to that they have need of milk because they're just like babes. They haven't been growing in their faith. They haven't been able to get their minds around some of the basic principles. And he says, you know, you have some need somebody to teach you, and you should be teaching other people. You know, our growth in Christ is not supposed to be static. I'm afraid that today, if you were pressed as individuals, that many of you in this room would not be able to give a good testimony. Well, that's a tragedy. This is America. There are people blowing themselves up in the name of Islam and Allah and all that stuff. They believe something that's completely false. We have the truth, and we can't necessarily articulate our faith. And it is true, just as it was with the Hebrews, that we by this time ought to be teachers. Now, if you're not a teacher, nobody can be blamed but yourself, because there are so many resources today. People say, well, we should have a discipleship ministry in the church. Well, I'll tell you something. The discipleship ministry is going on right now, and it's going on in Sunday school, and it's going on Wednesday night. That's the discipleship ministry of the church. Everybody wants some new and improved idea, but you know what? The bottom line is it is placed in your lap to chase God. You have to be the one who decides that this is important, that this is true, and that you need to better yourself in this area or that if God's bringing it to your heart. Now this morning, what I want you to see is some immutable truth, because he says in verse 1, he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Now the word perfection doesn't mean that we're going to get to a place of absolute perfection. The Greek word is teleos. It literally means to the place where God intended us to be, the place of completion. You see, God did not leave us without the resources. The Bible says we have been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. We've been given that. We've been given exceeding great and precious promises, whereby we've been made partakers of the divine nature, and that we've been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. You have the complete and total package. Now, if you feel like your Christian life is just sort of kind of there, but not quite, it's not because God hasn't provided the quite. It's there. You could be a force to be reckoned with for Jesus. You can. God intends to do great things through common people. That's how he works. If you think you're weak, and I said this in this pulpit before, if you think you're weak, then I want you to realize that you're in the perfect condition for God to use you. And what we see in this passage is that he says that we need to leave these doctrines, the principles. The principles literally is the word beginnings. The idea of arche, and you've heard of an arch rival, it's the center rival, it's the person who's at the very basic principle, you know, that base foundation. And the idea is, he's saying, I don't need to go back to you Hebrews and take you Hebrews all the way back to the beginning. He said, we should be able to leave this now and move on. And I want to say to you that if you've been in America, we've just come through the holidays and we've seen, you know, the birth of Christ, we've acknowledged that he's God in the flesh. We've seen that the whole world, you know, was prophesied that he lived in, and everything he did, he knocked down one prophecy after another. We have an awesome foundation for our faith. I don't need to go back and preach some of this stuff this morning, because we don't need to go into those basic principles. But the fact is he says, therefore leaving, and the therefore is referring back to what he was telling them, they're in need of milk, and they've been rattled in their faith. Now, when you look at the passage, I want you to understand that every time the word principles is translated, the vast majority of the time, it's beginning. So he says, therefore, leaving the beginnings of the doctrine of Christ. And he's telling us that we need to go on, let us go on, and this is God's work, you know, let us be carried on the journey. And I want you to see in the passage that he's actually saying this is all God's work. There's a lot of God's work in this passage. And our journey is governed by God, and it is up to God to move us forward. So what I'm saying is this, I'm trying to point out something very important. Whatever I say this morning, I cannot communicate to your heart by mere words. God has to bring it home to your heart. Do not take a promise that is not yours and apply it to you. If God doesn't bring it home to your heart, if the pitchfork is, or the tuning fork is hit and your heart does not resonate, you need to deal with that. You need to acknowledge that. You need to go to the foot of the cross and say, God, I need to know the truth. Because this is your Emancipation Proclamation. This is where your freedom is dealt for you. God's Spirit speaking to your heart. The Bible says he'll send forth his Spirit into our hearts, and he will lead us into truth. That's what he does. Okay? Now he's saying, if God permits, your heart's open, he says, we will move on from the doctrines that are before us in these verses. And the doctrine they were dealing with was the doctrine of Christ. The Hebrew people believed in one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. That was there. It was Elohim. The I-N at the end is like an E-S. It's like ones. It's a plurality. But they didn't. They always said one, and it was hard for them to get their minds around that Jesus was God. And so when they finally accepted him, they were lit up. And they got excited, and their lives changed. When you find Jesus, your life changes. It's an awesome thing. It's not some osmosis that takes place. People who say they've always been saved are probably, listen to me, not saved. People who say, well, I've always believed, probably not saved. Salvation is an event. Can I get a witness? It's an event. How many of you remember the event? Now, some of us may not. You know, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. You can't remember the event. Maybe you remember a place and it's a snapshot and you're misunderstanding me, but I want you to be honest with your heart. If you don't remember an event, it probably wasn't one. Because a birthday is a birthday. We just celebrated what was the alleged birthday of Jesus, but the point is there was a time, and there really was a time and a day. And there's a time when I was born. There's a time when you were born. And there's a time when you're born again. It takes place, it